Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the 1955 Kailua Study Series. We are about to wrap up Chapter 34, Part 3, on the principles every infinite way student must know. This is Principle 22 is where we left off, I believe. And we'll pick it up here where he talks about there is no connecting of spirit to the human scene. That's a very, very important principle. And I think we all know why that principle is important. Because if you still believe that God functions in this human scene, then you're going to be trying to get Him to improve it. And even if you succeed, if somehow your prayers influence God to fix this problem out here, then instead of having a bad dream, you will have a happy dream. But it'll still be a dream. The funny thing is about the infinite way is it's not really practicing principles in order to heal something out here. You practice the principles and you awaken. It awakens you out of mortality, and then whoever's reached out to you is brought along for the ride. So, he says, don't expect God to come to mortality. And in your meditations and your prayers, you've got to train yourself to not think along those lines as if you're going to pull God into mortality to do something. You give up mortality by opening your consciousness. You do that. How do you open your consciousness? Of course, by those 12 times a day. So eventually the two of these practices come together. You see a problem. You stop, you say, no answer to that. That's mortality. That's the dream. That's hypnotism. And there's nothing in it. There's no God in it. So let me be still now. Father, thy grace, you speak. Whatever words you use to settle down and relax. And open your consciousness. And then as you sit there, or stand still there, with an open consciousness, a receptive consciousness, you are lifted out of mortality into God, into spiritual consciousness, into spiritual realization. That is the light that shines, and when it does, the hypnotism dissolves. You can see reality. And whether the problem was one being presented to you of your own or of somebody else's, when the hypnotism goes, so does the problem. But it's really a matter of waking up, practicing this so much so that our every waking moment is lived in receptivity, living in an open consciousness so that we receive impartations and the light is shining 24 hours a day. In other words, we're becoming Christ. We're becoming that one who has their being in Christ and has that mind which was also in Christ Jesus. We were tricked into this by having problems of finances, relationships, or health. But it was God within our very being, the Christ of us, our true identity, tricking us into waking up. Awake, thou that sleepest. And now we're finally hearing that and obeying it. Alright, so you see how important it is to not attempt to get God to work on or in the human scene. And he's going to drive this home. You know, I think you know by now, I'm sure of it, and I do too, we cannot possibly have the mind in us which was also in Christ Jesus, which now we understand through experience what that mind is. It's that open consciousness that receives impartations, receives the light, receives realization from Christ within, from the Father within, from the I at the center of all being. That is the mind which was in Christ Jesus. Now you know you can't have that going on. That can't be your mind if you are at the same time thinking about people, places, and things, and what needs to happen. You know you can't have that mind if you are at the same time thinking about the poor, starving people in the world, because you're not seeing reality. You're seeing a concept, a thought. Right there where those poor, starving people appear to be is the very light of your being that's giving you these impartations. And you're not seeing it. The mind is showing you a picture. It's distorting your view, so you're not seeing that light that's giving you these impartations there. You're seeing the light that's giving you these impartations within you, and then also this mortal world with these starving people. So you're seeing God and. One has to go, and the other remain. Remember, two standing in a field, one is lifted up. So one of these minds has to go, and you know which one it is. And we haven't wanted to look at that because, well, I'm not ready. I still want to have my apple pie and my wine. I'll just do this little by little. Will you? I submit to you that little by little will lead us all to another incarnation where we have to do it again. I submit to you that it is time that we do 100% of our effort and no longer consider little by little enough. Now, to help with that, he tells us right here, all of our thinking deals with concepts. It doesn't deal with reality. Now, what is that? Let's see. That's 12 words. In those 12 words are the secret to the entire spiritual life. All of it's right there. You can throw away the book. Just put that sentence up on your wall. And and practice that right there. All, that's A-L-L, all of my thinking, human thinking, deals with concepts, which is an illusion. It doesn't deal with reality. Reality is what we receive as impartations if we are still enough from that mind, that thinking mind. So we live not between two worlds. We live in two minds. And one is the thinking mortal mind. And the mortal mind, the human mind, is the carnal mind. That's the hypnotism, my friends. So all of our thinking is hypnotism, would be another way to say, deals with concepts. Since concepts are not reality, they must be hypnotism. So all of our thinking deals with hypnotism, whereas reality is given to us as impartations and realizations from God. Now, this here pretty much explains the last 100 incarnations. Let's say that you lived in the days of Genghis Khan, and you were Chinese, and maybe some of his men or he himself were attacking your village. and you lost someone you loved, or you were mortally injured. Well, that entire life dealing with concepts, thinking through this and that, and planning this and that, and you're going to go here and do this and have that and accomplish this, that entire life was hypnotism. I mean the entire life, good and bad. Because reality can only be given by God. It can only be received by an impartation. Now, if you happen to be a Chinese or Tibetan monk during that period, and you sat still and attained an inner realization of reality, then you were beginning to awaken at that time. Now, multiply that times 100 and just think of yourself as maybe living in Paris for a while, or growing up in Germany, or growing up in Russia, or living in South Africa, or being an Aborigine in Australia, or being an Eskimo in the Arctic. I mean, if you spent all of those times, even if you spent them trying to do some great accomplishment for the village you lived in, building a floodgate to keep out the floodwaters, or designing a way to bring water to the village more easily so the crops could be multiplied, or designing a tool so that people could farm better. Or maybe later you designed a tool that helped create the first printing press so we could have a Bible. Now, all those sound like noble things, don't they? They do to me. I'd be proud of one of those accomplishments. The only problem is, if you thought of yourself as Joseph Brenner that whole lifetime, 5'8", blonde hair, blue eyes, working hard in your laboratory, which may have been just a room in your house, to invent this tool, and suffering setbacks and having to regroup and come up with some more money to buy some more parts until you could create this thing, you lived that whole life hypnotized, because that never was your identity. That never was your life. All our thinking deals with concepts, he says. All our thinking deals with hypnotism. That entire life was hypnotism. No reality whatsoever. And so we repeat over and over and over. And then comes Jesus, who realizes the Christ, his own identity, and says, "Awake, thou that sleepest," and it thunders down through the ages, and some of us are now hearing it, finally. My God, I've been dreaming. This whole thing was a dream. How do I awaken? And here comes Joel to tell you. 12 times a day, become receptive. You can awaken when you have that mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, an open consciousness, a receptive consciousness, to the inner voice, which itself will reveal reality. And so he says, if you wish more quickly to leave the discords and inharmonies of human existence, or the hypnotism, begin to do less thinking, because all you're thinking about are concepts, or hypnotism, not reality. Now, I don't mean when you're thinking about God and spiritual things. I mean when you're thinking your ordinary, everyday existence. When you're doing that, you're thinking about hypnotism, or concepts. and you are not rising into your spiritual life. I know that's kind of disconcerting. It kind of knocks out our equilibrium. Here I thought I had a whole life. Take my case. I'm 54 in earth years. Sometimes I have a meditation. Sometimes I have a meditation, and in my meditation, I look at periods of my life. 8 years, 10 years, 13, 18, 20, 30, 45, 50. And as each one touches me in thought, I recognize hypnotism. That's a concept about the reality which I'm beginning to feel in my inner being and as my inner being. And I'm sort of like rubbing out the parenthesis. I'm erasing these concepts. And that leads me to a meditation where I can sit down, be still, and let reality reveal itself. And so it kind of knocks us off balance for a while when we finally realize and really get honest and look at this and say, wow, I've been living in the center of hypnotism for 50 years, or however long it is. I'm just beginning to become aware inside of myself, in my quiet periods, of my true identity. I receive impartations. Truth flows from my spiritual self at the center of my being, outward to my awareness. And I receive it, and I know that being is true and real. Sometimes I catch a glimpse of my infinite self. I can feel it. I can actually feel the infinity of it. Sometimes I recognize myself as I look up into the sky. I'm in that sky, and that sky is in me. And I look at the ground, and I'm in that rock, and that rock is in me. Sometimes I can feel my everywhere self. I am beginning to have the awareness, the conscious awareness of true identity. Of Christ, the one self, the infinite I. I am beginning to experience it. Sometimes with eyes closed, sometimes with eyes open. I am beginning to see that standing in the realization of that infinite self, as these concepts of problems hit up against that consciousness, the hypnotism melts. They really have no power in the presence of that self. I am coming to see that sometimes when I take no thought, this omniscience takes thought for me and performs things through me that I didn't know I could do. And so I'm beginning to die out of a life of hypnotism and awaken into the reality of being. And so are you. And so he says, if we want to do it more quickly, we've really got to disengage from this thinking that thinks principally of concepts. We have to do that when we're tempted to think of things and persons. We have to train ourselves. What good is that after I've done all that thinking about it? It still is only a human or mortal concept. So let me give that time to pondering some idea of God or truth. You see that? Eventually, we are going to be no longer human. We're going to be spiritual. We're going to be no longer person. We're going to be Christ. So that all of our time is spent in living, moving, having our being in the one spiritual identity called Christ. And our mind will be an avenue of awareness, aware of the infinite being that I am, that God is, for we are one. But we have to start somewhere. And so we really must take this seriously when he says, when we're tempted to think of persons and things, we have to train ourselves to step out of that mind and to contemplate God or truth instead. Now, he says, I don't mean you shouldn't think about your home, business, or family, but I mean what you think should be thinking of them in their spiritual identity. You see, our whole being is changing. It's going to be changed. We're no longer going to think in terms of material dollars that I possess. Eventually, that will all leave, completely leave. And the only sense of supply we'll have is invisible spiritual substance appearing as our need fulfilled. We're not going to be thinking in terms of my wife, my husband, my kids, my parents. Eventually, all of that's going to go. It has to go. So that the only thing that remains is resting in omnipresence. Resting in the arms of omnipresence. One presence everywhere. And that presence, the presence of love. And we're going to have to step out of these concepts of a personal life. My life. Bill's life. Mary's life. Sandra's life. Sharon's life. Monty's life. We've got to do it. We've got to step out of any sense of that life. Because that life is hypnotism. And we've got to come into that place where we have an open consciousness and we receive the truth of being. There is one life. The life that I am. God flowing into manifestation as infinite, invisible, spiritual flesh. Christ is what I am. God manifesting itself. And we've got to come into a sense of that life. And we've got to die to this other life completely. You can't have the spiritual kingdom and keep one foot hanging or one hand hanging on to this world. Well, I'd like to have that spiritual kingdom, but I really want to keep this little corner of my life. I'd like to have that spiritual kingdom, but I'm not ready to let go of my grandchildren. Who will look after them? I'd like to have that spiritual kingdom, but, well, this is my business deal, and I'm not ready to let go yet. You can't fool Christ. You can't do it. And you can't live in two worlds. Forever. We have said that we're willing to walk this way, which means that we have to die completely to this world. Or, since there really is no this world, we have to die completely to the hypnotism of human thinking, or thinking that deals with concepts. Now, The more you continue to think of them as they appear on earth, the more you are just thinking and dreaming. You are hypnotized. Hypnotized into believing you have a human existence. Nobody's going to pull you out of this, you know. Jesus is not going to come walking down the street, or Siddhartha, or Shankara, or Lao Tzu, and say, "Oh, hey there, come on up here," and tap you with a wand and awaken you. It's you and I down here in the trenches that have to say, "Hey, what am I doing? What am I doing? Another year went by and I didn't do this. Doggone it. I've got to stop thinking, dreaming, passing my life away in these concepts, or I'm going to have my 101st incarnation and come back again. And maybe I won't even run into spiritual things that time. Maybe I'll be so caught up into the dream of conquering Rome and overthrowing the dictators that I'll miss the spiritual path for a whole lifetime and won't run into it again until the next one. I don't know about you, but I am more serious about this than I have ever been. I am willing to die. Die to my beliefs, my concepts, die to my human experience, die to my family, my relatives, die to my nation, die to my income, my supply, my companionship, my life, my health. I'm willing to die to all of it. I haven't completely died to all of it, but I'm willing. And I know I'm willing because I'm practicing what this Kalua study is telling me. So, to see or to behold reality, says Joel, well, simply have no thought or concept or idea. Let the real become evident by your state of receptivity to it, no matter who it is out here, no matter what it is out here. Instead of thinking about it or about them, turn within and say, "Father, reveal the truth about them or about this circumstance or that condition." Then you will see the difference. So, concepts equal illusion or hypnotism. All of our thinking is illusion or hypnotism or world thought. That is why God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord." And so we must open consciousness to receive His thoughts or its thoughts. Now, this emphasizes the need for constant contemplation, doesn't it? Praying without ceasing in between your periods of meditation. All right, I guess that makes that part pretty plain. Now, he says, listen to this one, "For by strength shall no man prevail," which is like, "not by might nor by power, but by my spirit." We are tempted, you and I, all of us, are tempted at all times in the material scene, we're back in this human scene, to think that our human acts or physical acts accomplish things for us. And metaphysically, we are led to believe that our mental acts or mental thoughts accomplish something. But neither is true. Of course, neither is true. If it's hypnotism, if you're hypnotized, it isn't there. Your most philanthropic pursuits don't do anything. I know it's hard to look at because it feels like, wow, I wasted my life. It sort of feels like we should be like the Indian people that he speaks of in the chapter Reality and Illusion in Apprentice in Eternity, where he says, they misunderstood this, and they thought, well, it's all illusion. What's the point? And I'll just sit down here and smoke some opium. It's all illusion anyway. I have an Indian friend that tells me that. He lives in India part-time and in Florida part-time, and he tells me, it's all illusion. Why bother? But that's a misinterpretation. That won't get you free either. You'll just keep going around and around the wheel of rebirth. Birth and death, and birth and death. So I know when you read these things, it kind of feels that way. Wow, what's the point? Well, the point is, if you want to awaken and step out of this cycle and enter into the kingdom, that place the Lord has prepared for you since before the world was, then you're going to have to do the work. No one will do it for you. And so it is important. Yes, it does feel kind of futile, but it won't as you begin to have realizations and receive impartations about the reality of being. Then there will be things that you see and feel. Then there will be thoughts given to you that are beyond your wildest dreams. Then you'll start to get excited about waking up. So he says, our physical acts and our mental acts accomplish nothing. Both the mind and the body should be instruments for the soul. If you learn that, we do not live by bread alone, by effects, even thoughts, then you will develop the inner spiritual capacity. And then the soul will inform you and enlighten you. And your mind and your body will be instruments for the soul to use. And if you haven't heard it, Herb Fitch gave an excellent talk on soul energy, which just covers this topic. And I think I mentioned it last week. You can find it, well, you can write me if you're not on the Mystical Principles list. And if you are, I've already given you the link. But if you aren't, then you can write me an email and I will send you the link. And my email address is iamwithin@gmail.com. It's an excellent talk all about how we need to let the mind and the body be an instrument for the soul. Now, I've thought about this. I've given this a lot of deep contemplation. And I've asked myself, is your mind and body an instrument for the soul, or are you still using them for something? See, if you're in that hypnotism that's dreaming of a personal life, you're using them, aren't you? But if you're awakening to the reality of being, then you're standing an inch to the side, and the soul, the Christ of you, is using them. If soul is using them, you will never die. But if you are still using them, you've created a self. And that self must die. And it'll either die at the end, because that self cannot maintain this illusion forever, and so you'll experience death, and then birth, and then death, and then birth, or we'll decide before then, hey, I'm stepping out of this. I'm stepping out. I'm going to step out of the hypnotism of mortal thinking. Really do this. Learn to contemplate in between my periods of meditation. And in my periods of meditation, receive impartations of truth about reality, so that I can awaken to the reality in which I exist and allow that true identity, that spiritual presence, to use its mind and body. Then if you do that, you will never die. Which is what Jesus meant when he said, you will find eternal life. See, this is a real deal. These are not just pretty poetic words. This is a real transition, a real transformation of you. So, it all starts by developing that listening ear, the ability always to let the Father use us. The mind receives it and the hand can write it down. Or the mind receives it, and the mouth can speak it. Or the mind receives it, and the body can perform it. You will ultimately see that your mind and your body is an instrument of the soul. That's why it will never wear out. It only wears out if we use it, not if we let the soul function through it. And so it all starts with the 12 times a day, doesn't it? But this is important here, and I underlined it, because think of this. If you find a way to stop using your mind and body, stop living in the hypnotism that believes that you have a mind and body, a personal one. If you develop the ability to listen so that soul moves itself as mind and body, you will never wear out. Period. But if you don't and you continue to live in this hypnotism and entertain these thoughts, which accomplish nothing, then you will find that you are wearing out the mind and the body. This is the meaning of we must live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's really true. You become receptive and responsive, and you let your mind and your body be used by God. You learn to live without taking any thought. But when you do that, when you learn to disengage from this human thinking and open consciousness and are receptive, you will no longer be taking thought. It won't be your thought. But what you'll find is you will be more active in thought than you've ever been in your life, because it will be thought that flows through from the soul, from your soul, from the spirit, from the Christ, from the I. Just like in prayer. In prayer, you don't think thoughts. In prayer, you don't make statements. Ultimately, in prayer, you sit silent and let the soul do its praying. And then you'll know that prayer is a faculty of the soul, an activity of the soul. It has nothing to do with you. Soul prays, not you. And that's beautiful. I love that. Because for how long did we struggle knowing the truth with our minds, thinking that we were knowing the truth? We weren't knowing the truth. That's not knowing the truth. That's knowing a lot of memorized statements, rehearsing statements. But it's not knowing the truth. You can't know the truth. Only the soul of you, the Father within you, the Christ of you, the I of you can know the truth. And you hear it as it imparts it, or as it knows it within you. And so, yes, you won't be taking thought in prayer. You might say something like, no answer to this. Father, you speak. And then in a moment of silence, you will hear, feel, receive an impression of soul praying. You will receive God's thoughts. But what you receive is with power, because it breaks the hypnotism. And then the pictures disappear. They dissolve. So spiritual healing is not overcoming of physical, mental, or financial discords. It's the demonstration of the presence of the grace of God, or receiving the impartation. Every one of you has at some time or another been called upon to heal someone. And if you go back in memory, you probably can remember saying, oh, I can't take care of cancer or tuberculosis. I'm not ready for that yet. That's beyond my understanding. Oh, a simple headache? Sure, I'll give you some help. Indigestion? Sure, let me give you some help. Well, now you see the principle of this work. It's that we are not engaged in physical, mental, or financial healing work. We have nothing to do with physical healing, mental healing, moral healing, or financial healing. Our work has to do with the realization of God, the realization of the presence of the grace of God. And it also has to do with the realization of the nothingness of hypnotism. So we can understand now, and if you listen to that talk last week that I made, the overcoming of the current world crisis, that went into detail in the need to see the nothingness, in the need to see that hypnotism is the problem, take it out of the world, see its nothingness, drop it, rest back until you receive the grace of God, or an impartation, or hear soul praying, or receive the Father's thoughts. These are all the words describing the same experience. What Joel called the click. That's our work. We're not healing anything out here because there is nothing out here. Remember the hypnotism of mortal thinking? God's not in the human scene because there is no human scene. Well, duh. So we're not about healing the human scene. We've got to train ourselves, and it's hard work. It's hard work because we've had so many centuries of looking at these problems and seeing them as real. But it must be done, and nobody can do it but us. So someone calls us and says, I have come back from the doctor. I was worried about that pain in my temple, and the doctor has taken some x-rays, and he told me I have a brain cancer, and I am scared. That's it, right there. Do you experience that fear that quakes your body? Do you say, oh my God, let me come over right now? Are you caught up in the hypnotism at that point? Remember, Joel says it's all about reaction. Or have you been living? Well, let's put it this way. If you haven't been living the way we've just been describing, if you've just been doing a lot of human thinking, and I mean normal human thinking. Well, let's see, I need to go to the store. I've got to pay my bills by the 15th, and I wonder how my husband's doing at work today, and gosh, I hope he doesn't have any more problem with the boss, and when he gets home, I think I'll do something nice for him, and I'll go ahead and have his favorite dish, and normal thinking. If you're doing that and you're caught up in hypnotism, when that person calls with a claim of brain cancer, you're going to be flabbergasted. And you've lost it right then. But if you've been practicing what we've just read, you're catching yourself, training yourself to stop thinking human things, but rather to contemplate truth and God. And then you've had your 12 periods a day in which you have received a realization of true identity. Then you're on a higher level. You have experienced reality. Now the call comes. And you say, Marcia, I love you. Let me go right now and pray for you. And you hang up the phone. You go right back into your meditation. You recognize this is hypnotism. It's not in a person. It's not in the world because there isn't any. It's a thought appearing to your mind. You recognize it's hypnotism. It has no power. There's nothing in it. It's nothingness. You drop it. Now, Father, reveal the reality in this situation. And you've been feeling reality all day. So it's real easy to slip into the experience of the everywhere self. Ah, yes, here I am. Here I am. I am omnipresent. And you say, thank you, Father, thank you. And you rest in it. Then you're able to say, yes, I can meet this claim. Because it's not you personally meeting it. It's the state of consciousness that you've developed. It's the Christ within you that's awakening you to its presence. You see the difference? So, he says it becomes a point of transition that you must make in your own consciousness to where when you're called on for help, you don't think of it as removing a fever, reducing a lump, setting a bone, blah, blah, blah. but to where you never think of a call that comes to you as a physical, mental, moral, or financial call, but where you look upon it only as a call to attain a conscious realization of God or reality or spiritual being. Do you see that? So, I think that's pretty plain what we have to do there, but we can't do it if we've been coasting over here with our human thinking, can we? It means we have to make a commitment to do this. So first there's a point of transition in each of our meditations where we remind ourselves we're not removing a fever, we're not removing a lump, we're not here to set a bone, we're not here to heal, we're not here to fix. We're here to recognize, this is hypnotism. There's no answer to this, it's nothing. But I realize I'm still attached to that hypnotism. I can still feel it pulling. So, Father, I'm going to rest in you. Reveal the truth of being. Show me what's really here. And if we've had our 11 other times, it should be real easy to slip into a conscious realization of reality. Then the hypnotism is broken. It's just broken. It falls from us. It's a, what does he call it? A release. We are released from the thoughts and things of this world. We're released from the hypnotism. Oh, thank you. Yes, I feel much better. And we know that the claim has been met. Or if it hasn't been met, we know that we're on the right path. Because we can do that another 2, 3, 4 times and it will be met. So first, our transition happens in each meditation. Where we make the transition from trying to help or heal to resting. To awakening out of the hypnotism into reality that we receive from within. An awareness of reality that we see from within. Now, after that, it becomes a complete transition in our consciousness so that we can live this on a permanent basis. Yes, first we have this in our meditations, and then it takes over our entire life. So first we have a transition within, and then we have a transition in the totality of our consciousness on a permanent basis. Now, it should make no difference to you whether a person writes that they're unemployed, or they have cancer, or they lost a quarter. Now, really think of this. Look at this. Read this. Take this into your meditation and say, what does he mean? How can I get there? Because he means this. If you pick up that phone and someone says, hey, I lost a button on my sweater. I had it a minute ago. I've got an important meeting here in about 2 hours, and I need to find that button. I've looked all over the couch. It just seems to have slipped into nowhere. That should not concern us any more than someone saying, the doctor called today with the results. I've got bone marrow cancer. That's what he just said here. It should make no difference to you whether a person writes that they're unemployed, I lost a quarter, or I have cancer. Will you do some work for me? You should say yes, because you don't care whether they find the quarter or they're healed or not. Our metaphysical workers actually believe that they are healers of mind and body and purse. But we have no relationship to that. Our work is abiding in the consciousness of God and letting it dispel any kind of illusion. Very often, even good ones. You see that? Now, this is a matter of training. Just like training yourself to let God pray, which we do by practicing 12 times a day. No answer to this. Father, thy grace. That's training yourself to let God pray in you. So you have to train yourself to see it makes no difference what the nature of the claim is that's presented to you. It's all illusion. You're not a doctor. You're not going to perform a physical miracle. You're not that at all. You are the Christ, or at least you're awakening to yourself as Christ. You are the Son of God. that realizes the spiritual nature of God in God's creation, as against all these other appearances. But an appearance of a headache is just as much material sense as is an appearance of cancer. You have nothing to do with either one. You have to do with the realization of God and the spiritual nature of this universe. Oh, he says, this is so important when you come down to the actual practice of this. And the actual practice of this, you need to understand, as I said in the talk, I will try to repeat here, that it is hypnotism. It's not out there. Take it out of the world. The only thing out there is God's perfect creation, the kingdom of heaven here and now. Therefore, it's not out there. It's hypnotism presenting a picture to your mind. And you're seeing the kingdom through this glass darkly called cancer. So what do you do about it? Well, you recognize, okay, here's the hypnotism showing me this picture, big as life in my mind, in my human mind. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. The entire human mind is hypnotism. There's no God in it. There's no spirit in it. There's no presence in it. I have never felt the presence in this world. Never. I've always felt it flowing from another dimension. So there's no presence in this. There's no power. It's nothing. Okay, now I'm relaxed enough. Now I'm relaxed enough to open my consciousness within. Father, reveal reality. Reveal what's really here. Show me the truth of being. I'm still. I'm listening. Thy grace is my sufficiency. And in that silence, in that resting, we become aware of reality. We receive an impartation. We hear that thought of God. We awaken to that which is. And that hypnotism that was presenting itself to our mind, we are not caught up in it. We awaken from that. It doesn't have the strong pull. We feel free. We experience a feeling of release and joy cometh. Peace comes. We know we have just been released because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and we're experiencing that freedom right here. That's what we're about. We're about going into meditation until we experience that release. And then when we are released, the person that turned to us is also released because of oneness. The hypnotism is broken across the board. And when the hypnotism is broken and you're not attached to that, and they're not attached to that, the outer picture, or the picture that looks like it's outer, dissolves. You see that? He says here, the evil appearance is the decoy tempting you to treat it, overcome it, remove it, or destroy it, whereas thought must instantly be removed from the appearance and turn within until freedom is realized as an inner peace, an inner joy, or an inner release. And that's just what I said. And he says, is that clear? And I hope it is clear. I really hope it's clear. I did my best. I have done my best now in these 2 talks to make it clear, and the important point to remember is that, one, it's hypnotism, it's not an outer condition. Take it out of the world, which is impersonalizing it. 2, realize it's nothingness. There's no God in it, therefore it has no power, and that's how you nothingize. 3, drop it. We're not about doing anything about it. We're about waking up. So drop it. Turn within. Father, thy grace. You speak. You reveal. Fulfill thyself. Whatever words you use to rest back in that presence and let it function. then that presence reveals reality, which breaks the hypnotism. You're not enthralled by it anymore. You're not, oh my God. No, it breaks that. It breaks that. And you're like, oh, yes, okay, I'm back to my senses. I'm back to my spiritual senses. You experience reality, the hypnotism's broken, the picture disappears. Actually, as Joel says, what happens is more of reality appears. The glass darkly becomes fainter and you see more of spiritual reality. So that's it. That's what we have to practice. But we can't practice that if we're walking around thinking human thoughts and being just a human being all the time. And that was the point of this last principle. We have got to step out of that, be willing to contemplate in between periods of meditation as much as we can, so that when the call does come, we're able to recognize it, drop it, lean back in the everlasting arms till we have an inner realization which sets us free. And then the pictures dissolve with our release. Does that make sense? Or at least give you something you can do? Okay, so that brings us to the end, finally, of the principles every Infinite Way student must know. And it concludes Chapter 34. Next week we'll have Chapter 35, Individual Spiritual Experience. And let's see. And then we'll have Individual Spiritual Experience Continued. Those are two chapters. Then we'll have Bear Witness to God in Action. Bear Witness to the Universal Nature of Illusory Error. Problems Aren't Problems Anymore, Part 1, and Problems Aren't Problems Anymore, Part 2. And then I will make a summary talk to try to summarize this whole experience. That'll be kind of difficult. And that'll be the conclusion of our Kailua study series. So we're getting close now. I know this has given all of us enough work to last for our entire lifetime, hasn't it? But at least we're not confused anymore. We know what we must do. And at least we're not alone anymore. We have companions walking this path with us. I hope you know that you're free to write me with any questions or wanting something expanded, and I'll write back. I always love those type of letters. I'm not big on letters that people write me that they tell me stories or send me quotes, but anytime there's a real letter written with a question or comment or something that the person is pondering or going through, or maybe some wonderful experience they're having. Well, I love those kind of letters, and I don't mind answering them at all. So feel free to write an email or a letter. In the meantime, thank you for taking the time to listen to this. Thank you for walking this far with me. And let this be the year, 2009, when we awaken out of that constantly living in hypnotism to living in, moving and having our being in Christ, and Christ in us. Maybe not all of the time yet, but most of the time, a significant amount of time, so that it is dissolving the need to return to another incarnation. So it is setting us free to live our eternal lives. Upward and onward, and amen.